I'm back. I know you guys miss me so much. Thank you so much to Dap Scout, who did a fabulous job. I actually tuned in last week. He made me look a little bad because he's not too bad looking on the eyes. And he's might be funnier than me, which kind of sucks, but I don't know. Anyway, I want my man Jason to come in because I got a couple questions for him. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Nick, good to have you back. Good to have you back.
I think it's very funny that I pretend like we weren't just talking. Every time I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. I haven't seen you in a while.
The magic of TV, you know?
It truly is a magical place. I'm at my parents' house, which is which is a lot bigger than my apartment, which is nice, but it's too big. It's too big. There's too many rooms.
You're not used to this this much space, huh?
Exactly. Did you get hit with any of the snow, or was that just that got fucking?
We have not, but there's rumors that it's coming tonight/tomorrow. So,
I got
knock on wood.
4 inches on Saturday morning.
I mean, that's what she said, but
it was truly remarkable. I've never seen so much snow, like at once.
Right.
It was nuts. My car got packed in because I'm in the city. So we parked and it just packed us right in. I put my in Chicago, do they have space savers?
Yeah, we call it dibs. You put out like your lawn chairs or something.
Yeah. So I put out like a slow children's sign. Do you know those little green ones that like hold the flag like this?
Yeah.
Put that up. Unfortunately for one of my neighbors, someone took their spot. Oof. And they opened up a trash bag, threw it all over their car.
Oh. And then brutal.
On top of the car.
It's brutal.
That's what you get for living in Southie. it's just a classic place. Dave, come on in, buddy. I haven't seen you.
Hey, what's going on, Nick?
Hey.
It's been minutes since we've talked.
Truly been minutes. And it's just fantastic. Dap did a fabulous job.
Don't tell him that, okay?
He's better than me. But then I thought there's too many it's too baseball centric. Because like I bring a little bit of like the common man, and you guys were just like, I learned stuff. I messaged him and was like, hey, should I trade J-Ram? Just because he told me to.
Did it out of principle?
Strictly out of principle. It was fun.
Yeah. The last thing we want to be doing is clouding this live stream up with baseball chat.
Yeah. That's right.
That's ridiculous. If you want baseball chat, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. Know? This ain't it. We are also locked out.
Yeah. Right. Bullshit. Well, let's hop into things. First thing I want to talk. Oh, we got a comment already. Hopefully, it's not a bot. Uh-oh, Nick. Nick, we have a comment for you. I don't know if you can see it, but.
Is it from someone named Crew?
Throw it up on the screen here. Let's see what we got.
I don't know, but do you have a cousin in Florida?
Yeah.
your cousin from Florida says, "What up,
Woody?" Hey, it beats the last couple comments we've been getting.
Yeah, no bot comment.
My grandpa, who was once a guest on the show, is down in
Florida. Oh yeah,
is down in Florida with my uncle and my cousin. Hello, cousin Crew. Hello, Uncle Woody. Happy birthday, Papa. It is Papa's birthday.
Oh, hey.
Happy birthday.
All right, so here's what I want to talk about first, boys. We discussed our favorite format on FanTrust last weekend. I talked about best ball. JP talked a little bit about Dynasty, and then Jason talked about keeper leagues. And so this week, kind of just real quick, want to hear your guys' thoughts on just your favorite thing, just in general, however you want to answer that question about using Fantrax.
To me, I think it's one of the things that they bring set themselves apart is their customization of your leagues. I mean, you can set it, you know, whether you're going to be an auction league or just any sort of customized rules that you have. I feel like they can accommodate for, which, you know, a lot of times some of these league services, whether it be, you know, the big guys, the smaller ones, what have you. But, and then not only that, but the price that, you know, the premium leagues, which obviously give you all these top-notch customization rules, just far outweighs the value you get from the big name sites that, you know, might have your normal leagues on, like ESPN or CBS. So to me, it's the customization that they allow for you on your leagues and the different rule settings and all that stuff that you can bring to you. You know, because I know not every league is the same, right? I mean, everyone says, oh, I play Dynasty. Yeah, but, you know, that can mean a million different things when you talk to somebody about Dynasty leagues or Keeper leagues. So just the customization overall to me is top notch from Fantrax.
Yeah, I mean, not to steal from Jason here, but I think without question, he's hit the nail on the head. Like you said, you know, really no two leagues are the same. And my favorite part about Fantrax by a mile is literally there's pretty much no way that you can't set up your league. So whatever it is you have in mind, whatever stat categories, whatever format, pretty much whatever you want to do, you can do on Fantrax. So that's, like I said last week, like I don't understand why anyone wouldn't be on Fantrax, because there's literally nothing you can't do. And if you have any, you know, issues with, you know, trying to set up a league or trying to get something and you can't quite figure it out, their customer service is not just quick, but it's amazing. I mean, we know some of the guys that work for Fantrax in that regard, and they'll get you squared away real quick. So I literally can't think of a reason why you wouldn't use Fantrax, to be honest with you.
Yeah, mine's definitely going to be the deep player pool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just had my first-year player draft, and I found Won Bin Cho, the guy, the international free agent that the Cardinals just signed. I fully anticipated picking, like, a dummy player and then just typing in the chat, like, and then you send them an email. But, no, he was in the player pool. And if he wasn't, you send an email over, and then he's in there probably, or whatever player you're looking for will be there within 48 hours. So the player pool really does it for me, because that's someone that ESPN wouldn't even think about.
No, yeah, that's something I didn't even think about. Like, I remember my days of playing on ESPN, and the player pool's limited. Like, there'd be, like, top 100 prospects that aren't even in the player pool for you to pick up. Yeah. And then I played on CBS, and CBS has a much deeper player pool than ESPN does. But, you know, when you start getting into your fringy prospects, it's very hit or miss. I mean, Fantrax has got probably, I would venture to say, they probably have close to 1,000 priority players in their player pool. And even I don't know who the hell they are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'll be searching for guys, and, you know, you'll type in a part of the name, you know, just to narrow it down. And then you'll get like 20 or 30 names that pop up. And it's like, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Oh, God, I didn't think of him. I don't know him. I don't know him. So, I mean, their player pool really is ridiculous. Good luck finding someone that isn't in their player pool, honestly.
It's almost like a game.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. I mean, seriously, good luck finding someone that isn't. So let's go Dynasty Deep Dive here. This was based on Dap and his suggestion. We're doing his Oakland A's. So I don't know, Jason, did you want to go ahead and lead us off here?
Yeah, I can kick it off. I'm going to go ahead and go with the hitter this week. And one of the hitters that I've actually been big on, not just this year going forward, but just in the past, has been the third baseman, Matt Chapman. You know, he did have a little bit of an uncharacteristic down year in 2021. But I think, you know, if you just look back at his track record, he's just too good. I could see him definitely bouncing back. If you look back, you know, aside from his 2020 season, he's had back-to-back seasons of 100 runs scored, and then including a 36 home run season in 2019. He's still barreling the ball. His barrel rate ranked in the top 85th percentile. I think the biggest concerns with him, though, was just the swing and miss concerns that kind of peaked here in 2021. You know, they were a little bit uncharacteristic, and a lot of that was, you know, he was swinging more in the zone and actually missing more in the zone. So it's not like he's chasing. His chase rate was still, you know, top half of the league. You know, the power numbers are still there. Even in a quote-unquote down year, he had 27 home runs. I know there's just rumors and stuff, but there are rumors now that Oakland is looking to possibly move him. If you look at his home road splits, they actually favor in the road splits just because of the Coliseum there. It's just massive. So I think, you know, I would kind of maybe look at 2021 as maybe a little bit of an outlier. And even with, you know, the swing and miss concerns, I feel like he might be able to get those back in line because he's still walking at a higher, you know, rate. So I wouldn't be anything to be concerned about looking at his 2021 numbers. And I still think he's got a lot left in the tank and he'll prove it.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Chapman may not be an A for long either. So
right,
they're kind of so interesting to see what ends up with him. But yeah, he's an interesting name because I feel like you're not sure what you're going to get, and so that can be good or bad. You might be able to get a little bit of a deal on him, or he might super screw you. Guys like that, I tend to shy away from. I know third base is kind of a dumpster fire for a lot of intents and purposes here, but I think that's a guy that I would probably shy away from in redraft, probably shy away from in dynasty. But, you know, if you have some confidence there, you could definitely get him on the cheap right now, I think.
Yeah. All right, nice.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to go next. I'm actually kind of excited about mine. This one here has a whole bunch of things in common with me personally, okay? So, first of all, my favorite number is number 14. He's a number 14th prospect for the A's in MLB Pipeline. He is 6'4" tall. I'm 6'4" tall.
You're that tall?
Yeah, I am that tall.
Wow.
Yeah. He weighs 225 pounds. Once upon a time, I also weighed 225 pounds. He went to the University of Michigan. I live in Michigan and am a Michigan fan. And he spent last season playing for the Lansing Lugnuts, which is, you know, a 10-minute trip from my house. So I've not only seen this guy pitch, and not only do I have a lot in common with him, but Jeff Criswell is also a guy that I'm a pretty big fan of. He was drafted in the second round, 58th overall in 2020, and he basically has been hurt this entire time. And it's a shame because if healthy, I really think that this guy has everything you could look for to be maybe a ceiling of a SP2, you know, could very well turn into an SP3 or 4. So, you know, not a guy that's going to lead your, you know, rotation, but a guy that's going to do a lot for you. I think his fastball grades out a little bit above average. Slider a little bit above average, change up a little bit above average. So, you know, all of his pitches are at least a little bit above average. He throws hard. He comes in somewhere, you know, around 95 or so. He does tend to try to overthrow, which might have led to, you know, his injuries. Last year, as a matter of fact, they never did specify exactly what his injury was that pretty much kept him out of the whole season. He ended up pitching just 12 innings over five starts. They just simply called it an, I think they called it a shoulder injury, which, as Nick Savali would tell you, is not very specific. but, you know, that slider that he's got, the changeup that he's got, I mean, currently I would say above average, but I think that they both have every opportunity to be, you know, plus pitches. So that gives him a really nice mix. You know, and that's what I'm looking for a starter is a guy that has a nice fastball, but has secondary pitches that, you know, he can mix in that are effective. So if you can get, you know, those two potentially plus pitches, that's where you get up to that ceiling of an SP2. So for him, it's really going to simply come down to if he can stay healthy. So far, he most definitely has not shown the ability to do that. But if he stays healthy and kind of gets his shit together, I could easily see him working his way maybe up to AAA even this year, probably AA for sure. And so I see him, you know, getting up to the big leagues in 2023. He's quite low on my rankings right now just because he really hasn't shown anything in pro ball. So I've got him outside of the top 1,000, just barely. But he's a guy that probably is free in your leagues. And if you go deep enough, he's kind of a free square, in my opinion, that has a lot of upside. So if you've got any room on your bench in a relatively deep league, Jeff Criswell, guy that I really, really think you should check out.
I had no idea who that guy was, and I'm going to see if he's owned in my leagues today.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get them in like 30 rock or anything. Well, yeah, you know, let's find out. I'll let you guys talk while I try to snag him.
Perfect. Jason, yeah, I mean, we're going to play a game.
Okay, what's that?
You're going to guess who the pitcher that I picked is.
Wait. Oh, for tonight you're talking about? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm going to give you a clue. Former top 10 prospect in baseball. Ooh. I didn't know he was on the A's.
Oh, I know who it is. Brent Honeywell.
Brent Honeywell is my guy today.
Nice.
So, first of all, if this trade was the opposite, if the A's traded Brent Honeywell to the Rays, I would be even more all over it. So right. My only caveat here is the fact that the Rays gave up on him. I'm kind of like, And what they gave up was money.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Like no players, no.
Yep.
He's one of these prospect fatigue guys. He's 26, so he still has a lot of time left to be good.
And I mean, usually I would say pitchers peak at about 29.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, somewhere in that time frame is their prime. So yeah, he still has every opportunity.
And last year he wasn't terrible in AAA. He had a sub 4 ERA at 3.97, which isn't amazing, but it's still there. He still struck out 67 guys. 13 home runs is kind of a lot for 81 innings, but and then he got called up. He did four and a third. He gave up four runs with four strikeouts though. So I think if he can just the change of scenery really could be gigantic for him, just because he was one of those guys that I would have thought was like, okay, this is the can't miss pitching prospect. There's no such thing. I understand that. But he just seemed so good. And I think just the change of scenery and with the A's going towards that rebuild, he's going to have time in the bigs to start, to get those important innings in against major league hitting.
Yeah, again, he's one of those guys we've just been waiting forever. You know, he came up, he's like, oh, he's got this nasty screwball. Yeah. He's going to, you know, and then obviously that led to Tommy John surgery. We've just been waiting and waiting. And like Dave said, you can't really, you know, the young pitchers, it's kind of an outlier. You know, usually these guys get through the minors for a long time and they finally come about. But yeah, he's one of those guys we've been waiting forever. And I do want to see what he's able to do. Especially, like you said, I think the change scenery could be a good thing for him because he's had the pedigree. He has the possibilities to be that, you know, top-notch pitcher. So I just want to see it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's probably a guy, that, you know, he's not going to come free like Criswell is.
Yes.
But he's a guy who's going to be possibly available in your league again, depending on, you know, exactly how deep it is and whatnot. But either way, he would be probably pretty easy to get his hands on. I highly doubt the guy who owns him has got him untouchable.
Yeah.
But so fun fact, you guys want to know in 30 Rock who owns Jeff Criswell? Because he is owned, of course, like everybody else is. And any guesses on who owns him? I was wrong on who I thought owned him because I do remember seeing two of his starts last year, and one of the guys had made mention, and we discussed him a little bit, and that's not the guy who owns him, but the guy who had mentioned him with me and we discussed was Jesse Roach. So I thought Jesse owned him in this league, and I was surprised that he didn't. But the guy who owns him, his first name does start with a J.
John B.
No, not John. Not John Brott.
Then yeah, maybe Jesse.
Jordan?
Nope, not Jordan.
Jake Devereaux.
Oh my God, there's a lot of fucking Jakes in that league.
I know. That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no. Wow. I wonder how many more J's there are, but no. It's not a guy that's active in the chat. So that's going to make it hard.
Probably don't even know him.
Diffenbach.
Nope.
Joe Diff is his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
I don't think he's super active in the chat. So so that's maybe why. But anyways,
I think
that's the son of a bitch
more,
that owns Jeff Criswell, damn it.
That's more of a shout out just to how deep 30 Rock goes.
Yeah. There is nobody available in free agency at all.
It's so fun.
All right, let's get into this second base. The second base was kind of hard, honestly. In the top 10, I only had to take one guy out that in my rankings technically is listed as second base. It does have Mookie Betts in Fantasy Pros as a second baseman, but I didn't qualify him at second base, so I did take him out. And actually, I mean, the 10 names that I went through, I had to do a little – I did a little bit of maneuvering. I did an adjustment in the rankings today because there was two of these guys that were not in the top 10 originally, and I maneuvered to get them in. The prospects were really hard. The prospects in my top 500, which is, you know, published now, only five of these guys made it in the top 500.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of these guys, you know, prospects aren't typically playing second base in the minors. You know, typically a second baseman moves over from shortstop. And so it's kind of hard for me to qualify some of these guys. So, you know, someone that's really into like second base prospects might look at something and he might look at it and, you know, they might go, well, I don't know. Like Xavier Edwards, for example, was a guy that, I don't know. I view him as more of a shortstop, but with Wander and stuff, I highly doubt he'll stay there. And so I have him listed here. And there's a lot of other guys that
a bunch, you know, of Cleveland Guardians.
Kinda. Yeah. So this is a little difficult, but let's get into the MLB top five. So I think without question, very obvious, number one, Trey Turner. I've got him sixth overall. As a matter of fact, we were talking about TGFBI before the show. All three of us are excited to play TGFBI this year. Nick's first year, Jason's second, my third year. Either way, if I get the number one pick, I'm taking Trey Turner. That's who I'm taking. I tell you that right now. I think Trey Turner is very worthy with the second base eligibility of going number one overall in redraft. I have seen him go number one overall in Dynasty as well. I currently have him ranked sixth overall. So take that for what it's worth. Number two, we get a little bit of a drop off. We go Ozzie Albies. I got him 20th overall. Another little bit of a drop down to third, Marcus Semien. I've got him 36th overall. And then we take a huge drop down to number four, Brandon Lau. Got him 63rd overall. And kind of right behind him, my new Tiger, for better or worse, Javier Baez, coming in at 66. Of course, I think he's going to lose that second base eligibility this year, go back to just shortstop. But for now, he definitely is second base eligible. So one through five, Trey Turner, Ozzie Albies, Marcus Semien, Brandon Lau, Javier Baez. What you think, boys?
Love it, man. I like the Ozzie Albies as two. Obviously, someone I'm super high on. Obviously can't put him at one with Trey Turner being there, but after 2021, I mean, he's had a monster career highs in home runs, RBI, stolen bases, cut his K rate. The OBP numbers are a little bit concerning, but I mean, you take that with what you get the other categories. So I like him at two for sure. Again, same with Semien. Someone that just had another monster career, you know, year. Yeah, I like all these top fives. Again, second base is one of those dumpster fire positions.
It's not, though. You think that it is, but second base is greatly improved. I really like all 10 of the guys that we're going to talk about.
Except for Javi Baez.
Yeah.
Except for Javi Baez.
But well, if you're playing Javi Baez at second over short in your league, yes, then I think that's pretty good upside. But, yeah, I mean, I like the top five.
I love Brandon Lau, and I wish I could move him up somewhere, but there's nowhere to put him.
Yeah, he was a guy that made a nice little jump when I did this. I think he was sixth or seventh.
Yeah.
Whenever I started, and I started moving guys around and looking at stuff, and that's where he fell. And I'm comfortable with him there. I really am. I don't think I can move him ahead of Semien. I mean, there's you know, a 30 spot difference in the rankings between the two of them. And even though him and Baez are three spots apart, I really feel comfortable with Lau ahead of Baez. Speaking of TGFBI, last year, Ozzie Albies was my second baseman on the team. I picked him in the second round, nice, and I got a lot of shit for it.
Wow.
People gave me a hard time. Because, you know, for TGFBI, I'll post, you know, each pick and, you know, a quick little blurb about the player, you know, just for whoever wants to follow along.
Yeah.
And I got some serious Ozzie Albies hate. And I actually had the number one pick last year. So I was the last pick of the second round. So I went Acuna and I went Ozzie Albies.
Ooh, double dip.
I went brave. I guess I knew something. Yeah. And even with Acuna going down, I still finished second in my league. So with my, you know, with the number one overall pick. Anywho, that's enough tooting my horn about TGFBI. I lost to Jordan. Jordan was in my league, and Jordan won that.
You got Luis Robert
or something.
Yeah, I got Robert and Eli Jimenez off of Fab for $1 a piece. I got him. Jordan was considering them, and I got him the week before he was going to put the bids on him. So that was super cool. So
it's funny. That helped. It's funny you got crap for taking him at 24, yet his ADP this year is already up to 20. So on NFBC.
No, a lot of people hated that pick, but hey, fuck them, right?
Yep.
All right, 6 through 10. Oh, and I still left. It says Dynasty third base rankings. Hold on, just in case somebody's going to watch this and get confused, I'm going to fix that real quick. Boom. Now it's Dynasty second base rankings. Number six, just behind Lau and Baez, I've got Jazz Chisholm, 71st overall. And then not too far behind, Whit Merrifield at 73rd overall. And again, big old cluster of second basemen. Jose Altuve comes in eighth at 76th overall. Literally directly behind him, Jonathan India, 77th overall. And then rounding it out here, Max Muncy, 81st overall. So literally 4 through 10. Is separated by 18 spots in the ranking. Wow. So seven guys, but in 18 spots. So, I mean, you know, they're fairly interchangeable, obviously, in my opinion. Just the 6 through 10, these five guys are all within 10 spots of each other.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you could put Max Muncy up to six, and I couldn't bat an eye.
Yeah.
Theoretically, you could put Max Muncy up to four, and I guess I wouldn't have a huge argument with it. So I guess what I would say about something like that is if you don't get Trey Turner or you don't get Ozzie Albies early on, I would say sit back and wait on second base, because if you don't get one of the top two, you know, especially 4 through 10 are fairly interchangeable. It's just a matter of what it is that you need for your team. If you need power, go Max Muncy. If you want speed, you know, go Chisholm or Merrifield, you know. It just depends there. So what do you guys think there? 6 through 10, very tightly compacted.
I love Jonathan India. He's probably my favorite out of the bunch. And he's probably also the safest. Like, I think his floor is higher than any of these. Maybe not Whit. I'd say Merrifield.
I would say Altuve's probably the safest.
I'm just anti-Altuve, so that's
fine.
That's on me.
Yep, no, that's fair.
And my only issue with Muncy is the injury. I feel like that's this. I understand this isn't like a season ranking; it's a dynasty ranking. But that's something that we need to. I feel like it's kind of going under the radar. Like, we haven't heard much. I understand it's the off season and it's a lockout, but it was shoulder, right?
I mean, I own him in 30 Rock. He is my starting second baseman there because, you know, he provides power. He's got great on base skills, and so that's the main reason I traded for him. But yeah, I'm a little bit worried because obviously in 30 Rock there really aren't backup options. You know what I mean? Like my backup option is like I can't think of his name now, but utility man is a utility man for the Braves. Or at least was on the Braves.
Camargo? Oh,
no, I literally can't think of his name.
All right.
But anyways, so yeah, if he misses a chunk of time, I have a huge hole at second base. But what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, I do like seeing Max Muncy in the top 10. And I think back to our point earlier, you know, Jonathan India came up as, a third baseman, and now I moved over to second. So it's like, again, you can't count on the second base prospects we were talking about earlier. It's one of those guys, one of those positions that people move to. I know Nick doesn't like him, but I like Altuve. Like you said, he's probably the safest floor. I think after his 2021 season, it's a big FU to all those people like claim that he needed to cheat to win. His numbers are basically identical to his MVP caliber seasons when it was like, you know, he just hit 31 home runs. Obviously, the double digit stolen bases aren't there, but, Yeah, you both hit. You just had a career high in runs and tied a career high in home runs in 2021 without a buzzer. So obviously, you know, there's a lot of upside there with Altuve. And like you said, a safe floor too. Obviously, 32-year-old season coming up. So for dynasty purposes, I could see why he's fallen down to like almost outside the top 10. But yeah, and I mean,
Nick, it looks like left elbow injury is what it looks like. Just a real quick look. So real quick, without any real context here. Let me just kind of give you the next 10, just so you know, just for some more names. Ketel Marte, Gavin Lux, Jorge Polanco, Jake Cronenworth, Ryan McMahon, Fidel Brujan, Eduardo Escobar, Nick Gonzalez, Tommy Edman. That would be your next group.
Those are all like the same type tier player for sure.
Yeah, basically. So, all right, let's get into the prospect portion of it. Like, this was difficult. Because like we talked about earlier, you know, it's hard. Not many of these guys are like a for sure second baseman. So I had to – it was a little bit of an art form to putting this list together. Because some of them are like, yeah, they're going to play second base, especially like the top five. I feel like the top five are like second baseman. And then it kind of gets a little bit iffy after that. You got, you know, like most guys move from shortstop over, but – we'll see what you guys think here. So 1 through 5, top dynasty second baseman. I've got Fidel Brujan, number one. And number one second baseman comes in at 243rd overall on the ranking. Wow. So definitely the lowest of any position that we're going to run into. You know, you would either think catcher or second base, but with Adley Rutschman, you know, being at the catcher, you know, he's obviously bumps that up quite a bit. But Fidel Brujan, 243rd overall. Not tremendously far behind him is Nick Gonzalez. I've got him at 264. A little bit of a drop down to Nolan Gorman. So that's where we were talking last week at third base, Jason. This is where I've got Nolan Gorman. I've got him at second base.
Yeah.
A little bit of a drop off again down to Justin Foscue at 387th. And then quite a drop down for Nick's boy, Nick York, at 476. So top five second base prospects for me right now: Fidel Brujan, Nick Gonzalez, Nolan Gorman, Justin Foscue, Nick York. What do you think, Nick?
Who's my favorite of the bunch, you think?
Sure. No, we already know.
What's Nick York? You probably think he should be.
It's actually Nolan Gorman. But yeah. Nick York is my number two. Gorman is just somebody that he's – probably was in the first class of dynasty baseball that I could have drafted like 3 years ago. Yep. So he was just someone that I gravitated towards. So that's just someone that I have loved. And I never got him, but just like in my research of him, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be really good. And then you see them pick up Nolan Arenado and I'm like, oh, what are they going to do with Nolan Gorman? And then they move him to second base.
Well, then they draft Jordan Walker, who's basically Nolan Gorman, just with a different name.
And just younger. So he'll be at third, and then Gorman will be at second, hopefully for the foreseeable future.
So as a matter of fact, with that FYPD class, I think I had in the main league that I was in at that point, I had either the third or fourth pick. And had I had 1-1 that year, I would have taken Nolan Gorman. So when he fell to me at whatever it was, 3 or 4 or whatever, I was fucking thrilled. I would have taken him first overall just because I believed in the upside. As it turns out, I looked to be like I was incorrect. But we'll see. You never know. I mean, what he does in the minors is irrelevant to some extent. It's what he does at the big leagues that really matters.
Yeah, I like all these rankings you have here at the top five. I think one of the biggest outliers to me is 3 of the 5 are all – from the 2020 draft class in Gonzalez, Foscue, and York. So a lot of newcomers up there. I mean, Gonzalez, I think the world of right now, I think he's insane. I like to see him progress again this year. And then Brujan, you know, he's the guy. He came up last year, made his debut, and, you know, he proved that he could be there. But, you know, rich get richer. The Tampa Bay just has no room for him there and right now. And
I think he'll get traded, honestly.
I would not doubt that, because it's one thing that Tampa Bay is not shy about, and that's trading players away to receive other, you know, top-notch players in return. So I could definitely see him getting moved. And
I can definitely see him moving off of second base, too. because I could see somebody playing him out in center field.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see a team saying, no, I want that to be my center fielder. We'll see.
And he brings the stolen base potential too. So that's also absolutely really big out of your second baseman.
Yeah. And that's for dynasty or for fantasy purposes. I think that's the difference between him and Nick Gonzalez. Obviously I think Nick Gonzalez is a better hitter.
Yep.
I don't think there's much question there.
He's not going to bring the speed though.
Yeah. But speed is so hard to come by these days. And Brujan definitely has that in spades. He very well in your league may have second base and outfield eligibility. If he does, that really increases his value as well. So yeah, it's really the speed for me.
Yeah.
And I think that at this same time last year, I think that for me, Brujan was actually a little bit higher ranked. I think he's fallen just a little bit, even though the proximity to the majors is obviously much closer because he's been there. He didn't show that well. And there's definitely some concern. So even for being my number one second base prospect, there's a lot of question marks there for me.
Yeah.
6 through 10 here. We got Michael Busch, 513th overall. So this is where I said 6 through 10 are not in the, are not publicly available on fantasysixpack.net. Michael Busch, though, 513. Xavier Edwards, another Tampa Bay Ray, comes in 561st. I'm going to butcher this last name. Richie Palacios, I guess we'll go with. Yeah, 579th overall. Aaron Bracho, 584th overall. That's a guy that if you would have asked me last year at this time, he easily would have been in the top five. He probably would have been in the top three for sure. Mm-hmm. He struggled. I watched quite a bit of him last year, and Aaron Bracho kind of fell off of the hill. So for me to have him ninth, I think, is actually high man in the room on him. And then rounding it out, 10th, Ezekiel Duran, 667th overall. So what do you guys think there? 6 through 10, we kind of drop.
Off. Yeah, I think the two guys that I'm highest on in that list is obviously, servedly right, is Michael Busch and Bracho too. Like you said, prior to 2021, man, I thought he could have been top of the list at second base prospect because I thought he was on a fast track for sure. And like you said, he struggled. But I still own I own the most of Bracho and then obviously a couple shares of Busch. I think Busch has good power numbers, especially for a second baseman. I think he could be someone that, be a good great asset at second base.
Yeah, I'm not ready to give up on Bracho. He's always been one of my favorites. And let me tell you, that dude is built like a fucking tank. He is just small, compact. He's a big dude.
Didn't you see him last year?
I saw him quite a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a lot of the Cleveland team here in Lansing. So that was super cool because I got to watch. I got some George Valera. I got some Ryan Rocchio. Oh, I got Aaron Bracho, Daniel Espino. I mean, I was getting to see a lot of guys that, I'm really high on. And as a matter of fact, a terrible Aaron Bracho story is the first game I seen him out in the field, warming up and whatnot. And they announced the starting lineup and he wasn't in it. And I went, what the hell? Like they had an off day prior. And so I was really confused. So I'm sitting here going on Google and I'm like looking up, okay, let me look up what he must have an injury. I didn't see any injury news. So then I reached out to my media contact with the Lugnuts and I'm like, hey, what's the Aaron Bracho injury? And he's like, Aaron Bracho's not hurt. And I'm like, well, why the hell's he not playing? And he's like, he just sucks. So he just wasn't getting every day at bat.
Right.
He was just, at that point, he was really slumping hard. And so I was a little disappointed. I didn't, get to see as much Bracho as I would have liked, but Valera and Rocchio really made up for it. So, but yeah, I think I'm
still young.
Maybe high man on Aaron Bracho still.
Yeah, he only hit 174 at high A last year.
Yeah.
And he only got 279 plate appearances, so
yeah, exactly.
Not good.
And you, yeah.
But yeah, he's only 20, so definitely no reason to give up on the guy now.
No, but that's a spot where, he should have done better. And Yeah, it's a shame because the year before that, well, 2 years before that, 2019, I mean, he had a great season. He batted 281, had an on base over 400, slugged 570. So, you know, that gives him an OPS of almost 1,000.
Yep.
And then, like you said, this last year, I mean, the power numbers were
– that was only 38 games, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So but yeah,
eight home runs.
He struggled at high A last year for sure, and that strikeout rate is quite elevated too. 89 strikeouts in 243 at bats. So, I mean, that's pushing it, man. That's
alarming.
That's
like,
yeah, that's getting up around the 40% mark. So, but that's what happens when you bat 174. I mean,
yeah, you know,
you're striking out a lot. So it is what it is. Like I said, I still feel like I'm high man in the room on him, and I'm totally fine with that. He's young enough that, you know, I'll take my chances. And if things don't work out, especially now, you know, it's probably not the huge investment, but he is 5'11", 175. So, like I said, he's built like a tank.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He doesn't look like he's a 20-year-old kid. You know, he looks like a grown-ass man, you know, for sure there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, boys. So, we've done second base, I think. All that's left, correct me if I'm wrong, because we're not going to do relievers. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Jason. We have first base left, right?
Yeah, and catcher, right? Did we do catcher already? I don't think we did catcher.
Oh, we didn't, did we? Okay, so we got first base and catcher. So we'll do first base, and then we'll follow that up with catcher. We got to pick a team. Does anyone want to randomly pick a team, or do you want me to kind of come up with something here real fast?
Come up with something real fast.
All right, how about – have we done the Angels?
No.
All right, so we'll do the Angels, and we'll do first base next week. How does that sound? All right, well, hey, I appreciate everyone tuning in. If you have not liked this yet, please go ahead and do so. If you have not subscribed on YouTube, take a quick second, do that for us. We greatly appreciate it. If you turn on notifications, you do get a 30-minute heads up before we go live, because every once in a while we do a Monday show. Every once in a while, we go at 8 o'clock, so we try to keep it pretty consistent. But with the notifications, you'll always know about that. If you have not signed up for the Fantasy Six Pack series yet, go ahead and check out the Fantasy Six Pack account on Twitter. There is a link there to sign up, and I believe I'm pretty sure that is still ongoing, and we have not finalized that yet. And if for some reason you have not signed up for Fantrax yet, you can also find our a quick link right there on the Fantasy Six Pack Twitter. You can find it on my Twitter, I guess, if you scroll enough. But if you simply go to fantrax.com/fantasy-six-pack, you can sign up there. We get credit for that. That helps us out. So if you want to beat Jason's ass, if you want to beat Nick's ass, and if you want to play with me, go check out that Fantasy Six Pack series. It's free. You know, you had to play with some good guys, and it'd definitely be fun. Joe and Nick and Keith and myself spent a couple hours going over the league settings, and so we think that we've got something that is fun and fair for everyone. So if you have not signed up, go ahead and do that.
It's also the perfect time to swap your, you know, switch your league over from, you know, the ESPN and CBS league. You know, it's off season. We're coming up to hopefully a season. So get that league switched over to Fantrax while you still can.
I can personally pretty much guarantee you that you will not be disappointed with Fantrax.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't just simply say that. Like, literally, there's nothing that you can't do on there. So, all right. It was a pleasure, boys. Welcome back, Nick. It was nice seeing you. And we'll get the gang back together same time next week.
Can't wait.
See ya. We'll be right back.